Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
gentlemen, that was Corinesh, and the name of the song was Into the Mystic. You know, I always like coming onto the show and having pleasant surprises. I was sharing with Leora before we went on the air that, you know, we never notice typos when we are typing. Well, just I seemingly don't, unless I get a little red squiggle, and then I might pay attention to it. Because I have listed as tonight's show as Seeing Beyond the Pessimal. Well, I don't happen to know what the pessimal is, but I do know what the personal is. So tonight's show is about seeing beyond the personal. And that's a huge thing to be able to do. You know, in life, a lot of us tend to think, this is my life, this is your life, this is... well, basically, you want to own it as your life, but my message to everybody is no, think about something. It's not your life. It's not my life. It's life. It's life itself. And we have the privilege of experiencing what we term as life. Life is bigger than all of us combined. Life is all of us. And I tend to think sometimes we forget that. Leora, are you with me?
I am. Hello, everyone.
So, was that a little bit of a different introduction?
Love the music. Love never knowing what's going to come. And having no expectations means I'm never disappointed.
Hey, you know, hey, gosh, you and I have talked about that so often on this show. That to me is the only way to really live in life. As in the appreciation and in the art of life. Yes, art. Mm. Because life is an art that is, it's a painting that's in constant flow and in constant motion. You know, Leora, I remember one day I was sitting on a mountaintop with Master Lobsang, and we were watching a sunset over the Wesak Valley. And as I was watching this sunset, I have to say it was probably one of the most spectacular sunsets I had ever seen. And all I did was go, whoa, that's something. And then I felt these two eyeballs staring at me. And I turned around and I looked, and of course it was Master Lobsang looking right at me. And I'm in my mind going, what? And he looked at me and said this. That any time we freeze frame life in any particular moment is the very moment that we become stuck in anything. Because from that moment on, every sunset that I would see wouldn't be spectacular if it didn't look exactly like that one. And that made so much sense to me. Because what I had done is I had taken an event of the natural world and put it into a unchanging format in my mind. And when we as humans do that, hopefully you're following me, when we as humans do that, we live life on the personal level. Does that make sense, Leora?
It does. It's how humans are taught to structure or organize their lives. People will often say, well, what are you doing today? And they'll expect you to list off a number of things that you intend on doing. But if you're in the flow, you don't plan anything. You do what is intuitively, what intuitively comes to you naturally. You may have a zillion things you could possibly do, but you appreciate whatever comes. And a great example is with the weather, you don't necessarily know if it's going to be sunny or rainy or what's going to happen. And based on how you feel, you just allow yourself to do what comes naturally, and it changes the whole way that you experience life or your sense of existence, doesn't it, Stephen?
Well, it does. Plus, you don't live in the idea and realm of limitation. You're living life more spontaneously. As you were saying that, I was thinking of so many things which crossed my mind. Something that Christ himself said. He said, look at the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Do they concern themselves? I'm changing a few words. Do they concern themselves where they are to eat and or to sleep? The answer is no, they don't. The human's the only living thing that does that. We get all caught up in life. And by so doing, we aren't living in that life. And our life becomes diminished to your life, like when I started off the show and the message that was given. That message is saying it really isn't your life. Life isn't about you. It isn't about me. It's about life. And to me, I feel deeply that that's the arena that we miss the most as human. We miss that. We live out of the context of the natural world. We live in the human world. Maybe. That's where we create an error. Does that make sense, kiddo?
Yes, and I love how you're pointing toward this unobstructed flow of consciousness, because when you begin to see, or from the moment you begin to see everything as energy flowing, then you begin to understand what it feels like to freeze frame things. And what I mean by that is when you feel the air blowing on you, when you feel the sun beaming down on you, when you feel water flowing down on your skin, all of these things are flowing. It's unobstructed flow except for how you get in the way. And we do that so well in life because we are conditioned to structure things and to get in our own way. What do I mean by that? Well, it's interesting how we set up societies and structure our lives around schedules and linear time, isn't it, Stephen? How we do things on a day-to-day basis, on a monthly basis, or we structure our minds around things in order to give ourselves points of reference. And that's supposed to give us a mental sense of comfort. But look at different cultures around the world that tend to be more, I guess, Bedouin-like is the word that comes to mind. But there are people that are constantly moving, just like the animals that are constantly moving. And this is something that comes naturally. And yet we create a sense, an illusory sense of permanence, because we tell ourselves we want to live in the same place and do the same things, do those things that are familiar. But watch what happens when you start to feel comfortable doing those things that are unfamiliar. Isn't that interesting, Stephen?
Oh, indeed it is, because anytime you're doing things that are unfamiliar, you're going to have to get outside your box. And a lot of people have difficulty getting outside that box. You know, when we look at life, we look at life on the personal level only. And the personal level is, I'm going to say kind of, sort of where we live, but it's not where we have to keep ourselves. When we live life as the personal self, we are limiting levels of one of the greatest abilities that we have, and that's perception, the ability to perceive, seeing beyond the personal self and going beyond the personal self in life and excelling in that life to the fullest extent. But because of hierarchies that have been set up through the centuries, we've been led down paths where we feel where we have to have somebody directing, orchestrating. But you know, Liara, on an individual level, you can ask any person, do they like being told what to do? And that would virtually believe that the vast majority of humanity says no. What would you say to that? Do you like being told what to do?
Not especially, but what it does is it gives me the opportunity to feel how tension arises within me and how there is this obstruction of the flow. And when you start to feel things in terms of energy and you look at hierarchies, you begin to see that this is one of the ways that we have come to unconsciously prevent ourselves from being who we truly are or living more of our potential, wouldn't you say?
Oh, absolutely. Because we're not living to the fullest potential of ourselves. We're not even close, because I think we are afraid of it. And Marianne Williamson said it the best when she said that she believed that we were more afraid of how small we are as opposed to how great we are. Buddha had an interesting statement millennia ago when he said life is an illusion. He didn't say that life wasn't real. No, that was not his point. His point was is that life is real, but it's the illusory precepts and concepts that the mind delivers that has us seeing the illusion. So that's where the illusion of life actually comes from. The mind of the average human, we kind of all know this to a point, but the mind of the average human can be your friend and it can be your enemy very easily. And when it becomes your enemy, we become ensconced, we become trapped in the illusions of life, or what Buddhism calls samsara, the illusion of life. And we don't have to do that. We can see life. Life is real. But when we overlay our mental opinions on what reality is showing us, then we are living in the illusion and we're caught in a constant trap of like the movie The Matrix, that we are constantly stuck in that until we awaken, if you will, to the idea of the greater self. Not that that self is something separate from anybody listening to the show, because it is not. It is you. It's part of you. It's who we are. That's why life is greater than all of us. Thoughts?
Well, I love the word hierarchy and what it points toward, because many people are familiar with hierarchies in the workplace. They may be familiar with hierarchies in communities or in relationships. But if you take a closer look, what is a hierarchy really? It is perpetuating an illusion of separation, a separation from who you truly are. Now, what do I mean by that? It's different ways that we are taught to give our power away and tell ourselves that we're less than we are, less than capable. And we are taught to work in situations where we are constantly reminding ourselves, we're telling ourselves that we are not good enough, that we have to work harder to work toward getting better. It's all about really creating self-defeating beliefs. And it goes very deep into the psyche. So it's something that many people don't really think about because it's so unconscious, and they go and they function in different environments every day, and what they're doing is they're perpetuating this belief in separation. And any time there is a sense of hierarchy anywhere, what that's doing is creating inner conflict within yourself. And when you have inner conflict, you're externalizing that. And so when you see violence in the world, when you see war, when you see any kind of conflict or opposition, what you're doing is projecting something that's going on within yourself. And that's really not something people are conscious of all the time, are they, Stephen?
Actually, no, they're not. And you're making some absolutely wonderful points. Because hierarchical structure has just dominated human consciousness for thousands of years, and we've just been acclimated to it, and we're stuck in that, so to speak, if you will, the illusion of the treadmill of life perpetrated by hierarchical structure that has been imposed on everybody. But once again, we're used to it. Am I talking about rebellion? No. I'm simply talking about realization of life structure, that we are being structured and have been structured to live in a certain manner that bends towards the hierarchy. And I think that's kind of where Liara is coming from. But when we talk about hierarchies, you know, ancient languages always say to us that when you are divided, then you can't stand. You can't stand in wholeness. And hierarchies create the idea or the illusion of division, which automatically puts humanity into division within themselves. So as long as every human is divided internally, then the hierarchy can remain. But the moment humanity becomes undivided and singularized within themselves, what happens to the hierarchy? What do you think, kiddo?
Any perception of hierarchy dissolves, doesn't it, when you don't have that sense of division within yourself. And it's a wonderful invitation to everyone to step back and recognize that their perception is a pointer. Whatever they're seeing through their sensory experience is inviting them to go within and discern what's truly happening inside themselves.
Let's see if we can't take that a step further. To be able to do that effectively, ladies and gentlemen, you have to be willing to see truth of what's out there. When we talk about perceptions, are we really using the power of discernment, or are we using the ability of logical mind? Which is it? Because it's been offered by me on many occasions that, hey, do you see what you see, or do we see what we think? More times than not, we see what we think, but we don't see what is actually in front of us. Why? Because we choose to see some things, and we choose not to see others, because, if you will, we kind of turn a blind eye. And then we convince ourselves that it is something other than. Does that make sense?
Certainly. When you look at the word hierarchy again, it suggests an arrangement of things that are above or below the same level. And when you're looking above or you're looking below, you're missing what's right here, aren't you, Stephen?
Well, but isn't that an interesting idea when you say above and below? Because I believe it is written in ancient texts that as above, so below.
Exactly.
All right. So if what is above is what is below, then the hierarchy just simply doesn't work. And I'm going to paraphrase you because I don't remember exactly what you said and what I saw earlier. That even in the idea of spirit and the way that people approach it, they approach it with hierarchies. Do you remember that?
I do. Well, it's interesting because when we look at spirituality and religion, this is a very interesting example, because religion creates hierarchies. You have a sense of people who supposedly have more and less authority within different church or religious structures. And when it comes to spirit, if you tune into yourself, there are no hierarchies. But spiritual hierarchies have been evolving in the New Age, which suggests that there are ascended masters and beings that are higher than we are, that are to be put on pedestals. And what that is simply a reflection of a different kind of hierarchy. And it's inviting us, again, to focus our attention outside of ourselves. It's a distraction, isn't it, Stephen?
I would say yes to that. But, you know, when we look at this architecture that we're talking about, if we put any entity on a pedestal above us, as Buddhism teaches, then you cannot become that because of the illusory nature of what you're doing. What you're doing is you're making something, someone, or some idea greater than yourself. But once again, that's actually perpetrating the idea of the fear of your own greatness. To myself, there is no hierarchy, and it's not even necessary. To make something greater than anyone is foolishness. If for no other reason, in the illusion of the idea of creation, in that story, even in the Bible, it says that the Creator created all things in pure equality. Okay, if everything was created in pure equality, then I have a question. Where is the hierarchy? Does that make sense?
It begins and ends in the mind, doesn't it, Stephen? The whole concept of division.
Always.
But it's an interesting invitation, though, isn't it? Because so often we, internalize concepts and we create environments that perpetuate our beliefs, and we don't really delve deeply into what we're really doing. And I love words like try. You hear many people say, I'll try to make it, I'll try to do this.
And they don't show
up. If you
up.
Look the word try up, that's right. Well, if you look the word try up in the dictionary, it's already expecting to fail. So when you start using words like that in your language verbally, what you're doing is you're sending out an energetic vibration that is essentially going to result in the opposite of what you might tell yourself that you're going to do. It's like you're undermining your own intention with the words you're using. And when we create hierarchies, that's precisely what we're doing. We are allowing ourselves to believe something that is perpetuating this division within ourselves.
So let me ask you something, ma'am. Seeing beyond the personal, in your view, where would that take you?
Well, from the moment you begin to see everything as energy, you see everything as being interconnected, and you no longer see things as personal. You begin to see everything that occurs within you is energy that's interacting with every creature, with the planet, with the cosmos, and also vice versa. When there are environmental situations happening, be they earthquakes or tidal waves or storms, those are all externalizations of what's going on inside yourself. And in a similar way, you can look at the cosmos, and a popular one to look at are solar flares and other kinds of events that are going on in outer space or the universe, however you wish to describe it. And all of these things, how we focus our attention on all these changes that are going on, that's supposed to be drawing attention to the changes that are going on within ourselves as well. But many people are not yet conscious of the microcosm versus macrocosm. Would you say not, Stephen?
Well, in every destruction, there is rebirth that is contained within it. And if people would look at that, when a life seems to be coming apart, it could actually be coming together. And a lot of us struggle through things, and that is an area of your life that's coming apart. And if you learn to realize and recognize that, why not wait to see what the rebirth is going to bring to you, so that you know where your pieces are coming together in? Remember, a house divided cannot stand against itself. So when there is division, there is destruction. And where there's destruction, there is rebirth at the same time. Nothing ends in life, nothing. So many people talk about healing the planet from having earthquakes. My question to everybody listening would be this: what if earthquakes is Mother Earth's way of healing her own self? So if you work on preventing an earthquake, then you're preventing the Earth from healing herself. Now that makes no sense to me to do that. Sometimes we delve from a limited personal perspective into things that are much greater than we as the individual operator are. And that's what we are, is we are operators in this thing that's called life. That's why life is greater than all of us, because of the universal perspective of life. It entails everything. How about that for a subject? There you are. Are you with me? Seems as though we've lost Liara for the moment. Hopefully she'll be calling back in. But ladies and gentlemen, what's being offered is a simple dynamic of truth. Life is what it is. And life is not really what you could say personal. Life is diverse. But we are not diverse within that life. We keep ourselves in constant confinement. We keep ourselves in constant limitation. I once heard it said that life is infinite, that you and I, as operators in this life, are infinite creatures with infinite abilities. And we can live in those infinite abilities if we simply allowed ourselves to. But we don't. We seemingly keep ourselves away from it. We seemingly keep ourselves in an idea to where we think we can understand. You know, we do live in a three-dimensional reality. We do. And to that, there's no question. And living in a three-dimensional reality doesn't mean and or imply that we have to be bound by that three-dimensional reality. We can live in so many different ways. We can live in so many different states of being. Liara, are you with me? Let me see if she's here. Liara, are you there? It appears that she's not at the moment, so we'll wait for her return. Maybe this is her here. Hey, is that you, kiddo? Liara. Well, she was just with us, and I guess she didn't hear me, so I have no idea. This is the internet. She is in Australia, and we are in the continental United States, so things can happen. But ladies and gentlemen, life is indeed a lot greater, and all of us can live fully in it by learning to understand we aren't bound by anything. We aren't bound by the idea of structure. That's what, if you will, the powers that be want us to understand. And keep in mind, I'm not talking about rebellion here at all. It's not about rebelling. It's about learning to recognize and realize that life is a lot different than we ever thought it would be and or could be. Because life is us. We are as large as life, without question. Liara, is that you? Well, I hear her when she hangs up, but I guess she can't hear us when I bring her on. So we'll just continue to go, and hopefully she will be able to get back into the show. And if not, then it will be my intention to bring consciousness to everyone listening to the show. But ladies and gentlemen, when we look at life, it would be much more fulfilling if we looked beyond the personal, than if we looked into life, not at life. When we look into life, we're seeing the essence of life. We're seeing the true essence of life. We're not seeing what we think life to be. Because like Buddha said, that the mind of the human can superimpose itself basically on our reality. Is what he was indicating. Liara, is that you now?
It is. Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you. How about you?
It's wonderful.
What was
I can hear you.
Good. What was the last thing you heard me say?
You were talking about the universal and how people don't necessarily relate to that.
Okay. And we continued with that, but I would like your input on that very subject of life being universal, not so confined to the personal. How can one step
mm-hmm.
outside the personal into the universal? Thoughts?
Well, to begin with, you step outside the personal by seeing everything as energy, not by seeing everything as personal experience. And you can look at it in terms of cosmic energy, life force energy, chi, whatever word you wish to use. It's all energy. And energy is flowing through us, whether we're eating or not eating, whether we're sleeping or not sleeping. And it's a question of being more aware of our feelings and how we feel, because we're taught to think with the mind, and it's the thoughts that obstruct our ability to feel and to tune into the feelings. And it's the feelings that allow us to tune into what's happening in the earth, what's happening in the cosmos, and even what's happening with the weather. A perfect example is many people become dependent on the local weather person to tell them what kind of weather is coming around the corner. But farmers and ancient cultures didn't have a weather person to tune into. They had to feel the pulse of the earth. They had to use their feelings and their ability to feel the movement of the air, to allow themselves to feel what was going on around them. And that way, it's part of having confidence in yourself, isn't it, Stephen?
So what basically happened? Do we get so numb to the natural world that we just simply don't pay attention anymore?
This is part of it, and we're also taught to move towards cities, to use technology that interferes with our own energetic flow. A lot of people will spend an enormous time in front of a computer, using a phone, using other kinds of technology, and television. All of that is emitting frequencies And those frequencies can actually block or prevent you from tuning into the frequencies all around you. A very interesting example is to look at the migration of birds or whales in the ocean. And why is it that every year they're able to find their way to particular sites for food? They don't have a map like we take with us in our car. So many people have GPS in order to find their way around. But these creatures are so tuned into the energetic signals coming from the earth, the electromagnetic ley lines, if you will. There are different ways to describe the frequencies or the energy that's coming out of the earth, that they can follow those signals, and they don't have to have a map or a GPS in order to find places. And human beings have this potential as well. Ancient cultures used to do it. They'd move across lands in order to find food in different seasons. But they could also simply, by virtue of feeling the earth, they could feel if a storm was coming. They'd know that they'd have to create a shelter, or they'd know when they'd have to move on. It would be a sixth or seventh sense that they would tune into within themselves, and they would listen to that. And many people have forgotten how to do that. And it's a potential we can all tune into any moment of any day.
So you're indicating that the ancients, is the way I'll say it, were more in the realm of pure awareness than they were of thought, as we
certainly
deem it today. Okay. To me, that's the reason when you read ancient texts that you have so much in the way of metaphorical language, because they weren't so steeped in logical thinking as we are today. But because we are so steeped in logical schools of thought, we become and have implanted ourselves more in the idea of the hierarchical structures of the world, and we're actually more prone to go along with it. Does that make sense?
Well, it does. And what's interesting is this increasing movement of people that are no longer following the hierarchies or what the general population tends to do. And it's very interesting because more and more people are listening to themselves. You can look at this in terms of food, and you can look at this in terms of any kind of health treatments that people used to just take because they were told that was the best thing for them. You have more people listening to their own bodies, doing their own research, going out into nature, even meditating, and finding their own answers. Whereas there was a period where that was the only option, and then there was a period where people forgot how to do that altogether. So it's wonderful to notice that more and more people are recognizing this ability within themselves. They don't necessarily use it all the time, but they're starting to recognize that it's very powerful and it's something that is available to everyone.
But they can use it all the time is the real question.
It's available all the time, but it's conditioning, isn't it, Stephen? Because when people are conditioned, for example, to buy a certain brand of a product, or conditioned to go a certain way to work or to use a certain kind of transportation, they have to step outside of what's familiar. They have to allow themselves to recognize they have a habit in order to change that, and they have to be willing to make that change. And all of that is typically unconscious.
it's like all the guys running around with their pants hanging down around their knees.
If everybody else is doing it, then a lot of people will do it.
Yeah, indeed. Caller from 310, do you have any comments, or are you listening?
Oh, I just tuned in. I'm just listening. Thank you.
Awesome. All right, enjoy the show.
What's the main topic?
Seeing beyond the personal.
Okay, yeah, I see that in the description.
Yeah, but my typo there, it doesn't say personal, it says personal, so I just have to grin at that. But that's that thing I could allow to bother me because I've been conditioned through humanity, or I can just accept it as humor and just go on from there. In life, it's always better to just go on from where you are. Remember, in life, in every destruction that's going on, there is also rebirth, and that's true 100% of the time. and there's no escaping that. It's kind of like in life, sometimes the tide's in, sometimes the tide's out. If the tide's out, that's destruction, but you know it's coming back. You know that completely, so just wait. That's the same as true in life. We don't need all of this hierarchical structure to be led by. We really don't. We can, when we step into the awareness, the level of awareness that Liara is speaking of, we can indeed be the epitome of the divine human because of the level of awareness that we establish within ourselves. Notice how I said that, within ourselves, not outside of ourselves. Liara is correct when she talks about all the mechanized stuff, the GPS systems. You don't even have to look up an address anymore. You can tell your car, and the car will tell you where it is. Well, excuse me a second. That's great. But when it comes to a sense of direction, where is it? We don't have it. We've lost it. Why? Because of something as simple as that. Yes, it's technology. Yes, it's handy. Yes. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? There's more to us than that. When we take it down to that level, then we aren't the expanse that we were intended to be. Does that make sense, Liara?
It does, and it's a wonderful pointer too, Stephen, that there's this order and balance in nature, and that there are cycles. Energy unfolds in cycles, and we can see this in nature all over the place. You can see that in some places it's warm, in some places it's cold. In some places there's drought, in some places there's floods. You even have extremes. But what happens is everything comes full circle. And although we were talking earlier about the humor of the weather, you know, we were taught, this is another teaching, that there are four seasons and that we're supposed to flow through four seasons. And people become conditioned to think that they wear certain clothes at certain times of year and they function in certain ways at certain times of the year. But wait a second. There are places like Melbourne that experience four seasons in a day where the temperature can fluctuate 30 to 40 degrees. So you are invited to
tune back in. You don't have the corner on that, kiddo.
No, I'm saying that it happens in a lot of places, and there's a lot of unpredictable weather now. And what this is doing, it's shaking people up. It's inviting them to recognize that complacency is no longer acceptable. We have to recall what we are able to do and how we can adapt to whatever comes. And that's what originally we exist to do. But we have these teachings and conditionings that tell us to function in a certain way, and that life is predictable when in truth life is not. And this is really a funny thing, because people will set their lives up assuming they can predict everything, but they don't really know what's going to happen when they go around the corner, do they, Stephen?
No, but you know, saying that, I mean this in humor. I mean, in some areas of the country, square houses are not aerodynamic. When you live in a tornado prone area of the world, why build square houses? So you say we're adaptable. We are to a point. And we are adaptable to the point that our hierarchy allows us to adapt. Even if you look at the United States, they have this thing called FEMA. We know what happened in New Orleans years ago. That this operation, it was less than spectacular. But that being said, humans are adaptable, and they did adapt, and they recovered without the hierarchy. And when we learn to understand that we don't necessarily require this hierarchy that's been set up, whether it be religious, whether it be governmental entities, it doesn't matter. Those things just aren't required. They hinder us more than they do anything. They hamper us from the dynamics of our own divine growth and our own divine awakening, to realize that we are aligned, completely aligned with the entire cosmos, would you say?
We certainly are. But again, this isn't something that's taught, is it? It's something that we are inviting ourselves to tune into or to feel. And the more we see people focusing on events in the cosmos and events on Earth, the intensity the intensities that are building in different parts of the world, for example, and the intensities that are building in different parts of the cosmos. All of this is a reflection of what's happening within ourselves because we are going against our true nature. And this is inviting us to come back to the basics, to simplicity, isn't it, Stephen?
Getting us to step back into the realm of pure awareness, yes. I would say so to that, without any question. If we look at things today, they are becoming mind-boggling, and they're becoming mind-boggling for a purpose. Yes, they are. And that purpose is that divine awakening of who we actually are, that there is more to life than the personal aspect of life. There is the cosmos. There is the universe, which we are participants in. That's the reason if you go all the way back to when we began the show tonight, that life is greater than you. That's what we mean, that life is greater than all of us. That life is a spectacular thing. It's nothing personal. It's life. It's living. It's being the greatest human that any of us can be. What keeps us away from being that greatness? Are you so afraid of yourself that you don't want to step into that divine being that we all are? Are we so small that we can't let go of the ego, that we cannot let go of the hierarchies that we've set up, things that have entrapped us for thousands of years? We've become slaves to our own selves. We've become slaves to life. We've become slaves to everything except living. Does that make sense?
I love what you're saying, Stephen, because it's inviting everyone to exercise the imagination in new ways, isn't it? Because a lot of times if you ask someone what's going to happen when the current government is finished with its office, they'll say, well, a new government is going to take its place. Or what's going to happen when, you know, that church falls apart? Well, another one is going to take its place. And what we are inviting ourselves to do as a humanity is to engage the imagination, imagine a different kind of world, and thus to create it. Because thoughts are power, and with thought comes experience, comes the world that we create for ourselves. But we have to be brave enough to imagine something different, something unfamiliar, in order to make that our new reality, don't we, Stephen?
Well, reality is a state of mind, according to Buddha, and most of us live in that illusion side of mind, which says we're not living life as it is, we're living life as it isn't. It doesn't mean we're not happy. It doesn't mean that we don't experience things. In fact, it means the opposite. It means we're going to do that. It means we're going to ultimately have to experience who we are, not what we are. Hierarchy teaches us the what, but who we are has nothing to do with the hierarchy. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes, it certainly does, Stephen. And it's interesting that whenever we come to the realization that we are giving our power away, that is the moment from which we can decide to function differently, isn't it?
Well, first off is realizing we give our power away. We give our power to the power is what we do. At least that's what we think we do, because we're conditioned to do that. The president says, so therefore it is. Oh, excuse me a second. I think for myself, and I would prefer to think for myself, because the president says you're supposed to wear blue underwear for a particular day. Does that mean you actually have to do it? The answer to that is no, you don't. You can make up your mind, and you can live your life as you, completely and fully, but understanding first who you are. Now, what you are, like that was shared, that hierarchy has us into the what we are. That's not the who. They've gotten us to believe the what we are. That's the matrix. That's the illusion. That's the deception. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. And it's interesting because hierarchy gives us the impression that there is a system outside of ourselves. It shifts the focus of our attention from the energetic systems that make us who we are to an illusion of organizations and people of different ranks and administrative bodies and bureaucracy. This is where all the red tape comes into play. And it's interesting, I have yet to come across someone who enjoys bureaucracy and red tape, and yet how many people allow themselves to continue to follow the rules that they have been told they have to follow? Isn't it up to us to create something new if we're uncomfortable with it?
Hey, I always thought if you ever want to piss a bull off, you throw a red cape in front of them.
And it works well, doesn't it?
Absolutely, I guess. I mean, that's the reason they fight bulls around the world, but they always throw that red cape right in front of their face, and it's kind of like, okay, let's just tempt that one. Okay, that's fine. That's all well and good. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen, that's not life. That's not a living life. That's being told how to live, as opposed to living as you and living as ourselves is what we came in here to do, and what ultimately we're all going to do as we see these hierarchies dissolve and go away. And my question is when that process really, really begins, what are you guys going to do? Are you still going to continue to want to follow the status quo? And again, I'm not talking about rebellion. I'm just simply talking about living as yourself, as the divine creature that you are. Being able to weigh your own mind, being able to weigh your own being, that's what's important. That's the greatest thing about us humans, is we have that ability. We can do that. It's just a matter of doing it. Living as you. Moving beyond the personal, moving into the cosmos. I've had so many people through the years that would say to me, I was afraid I would lose myself. Okay. How does that happen? It doesn't. And I'm talking about personal transformation. Personal transformation is just that. It's allowing people to live in mastery of self. And that's one of the biggest purposes of life, that being that master of you. And as long as we follow the status quo, that cannot happen. It really cannot. You know, when I first became a monk, they spent years in destroying every belief system I ever held to. And it was always comical in the way that they do it. And I write about that in my book on Know What Tomorrow Brings, The 12 Principles of Karma. I share in that book how they actually went about that, until I had no belief. I had no idea of what to think. None. And then one day, it reformatted and moved me beyond the personal idea of self into the idea of the infinite self and being an active participant with the cosmos, which we all can do if we use our awareness and not necessarily logic. What do you think, kid?
I love the message that's resonating.
Good.
And that's what this is all about, isn't it, Stephen? It's about resonance and dissonance. If you look at things in terms of energy and you let go of all your beliefs, and you have no idea of what to think anymore, then you're resonating with the wider being, the wider cosmic energy, however you wish to describe it. And this is the self-mastery that we exist to recall, isn't it?
Absolutely. But you know, you said a key phrase. There's either resonance or there's dissonance. Resonance means there's harmony. Dissonance means it's not harmony. It's the opposite of that. That's what our emotions tell us, and that's what we've lost touch with, is how to be in union with that instead of in conflict with it. And division and a hierarchical structure is the very thing that keeps us away from the very thing that Liara and I are talking about. When you experience dissonance, that's just something that is not harmonious to you. Okay, that immediately says, move away from it and move into harmony. But what happens? we don't necessarily follow that. Because what we do is we get into agreement and or disagreement. Well, ladies and gentlemen, whether we agree or whether we disagree, frankly, is actually irrelevant. It really is. The reason it is irrelevant is because if we were all in agreement, then we think there would be harmony, when in reality, no, it wouldn't be. Because how can everything be in agreement if we're all truly individuals? If we're all truly individuals, there can never be 100% agreement on a planetary scale, because we're all not going to see through the same eyeballs. We're going to see through our eyes. And it's a matter of learning to understand that and moving beyond the personal into the cosmic level of understanding. Does that make sense?
Oh, it does. And from the moment you allow yourself to see things in terms of energy, and you allow yourself to see how you feel about everything, then you are tuning into harmony and disharmony. And that's the harmony and disharmony within yourself. And that helps you to better understand what's going on outside of yourself.
Indeed. And we are down to the last 3 minutes. So parting thoughts, and how can people get a hold of you?
Well, today we're exploring this whole notion of hierarchy, aren't we, Stephen? And hierarchy is something that we see in many areas of our lives. We've created it as societies, as organizations and communities, and essentially every hierarchy that exists anywhere is perpetuating the illusion of separation, the illusion of separation that is happening within ourselves, first and foremost. And only when we come to terms with that, only when we allow ourselves to feel what is resonance, what is dissonance, and make the choice to focus on the harmony, is the hierarchy going to disappear from our life experience. Because everything that we experience in the physical world is simply a projection of something going on within us. That's just a reminder of this holographic reality. Some people call the matrix. If you'd like to get in touch with me, you can do so through the Dream Builders Australia blog. That's blog.dreambuilders.com.au, or Leora Covert on Facebook, where you can also find other links.
And ladies and gentlemen, my name is Stephen Harefield. If you want to find out what I'm about, you can go to Harefield, H-A-I-R, F as in Frank, I-E-L-D.com. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, all over the Internet. And ladies and gentlemen, life really goes beyond personal when we allow ourselves to go beyond personal, because life really isn't personal. We just like to tend to think that it is. And by doing so, we tend to get in our own ways more times than not, because we like to think that, well, life is personal. It really isn't. Life goes beyond us in so many different ways and in so many different things. Life is about living and enjoying and being happy and the natural state of being the human, which is the state of pure awareness. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us. And this is Stephen. So until next week, I hope you have a blessed and fulfilled week. Thanks, Liara. Talk with you.
Much love to all.